Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a dark human figure jumps on top of a woman in her bed at night. A childhood game with paranormal inferences takes a dark turn, and a presence lurking outside a listener's home drives people crazy and desperate for solutions. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is the phone number to call in and share your ghost story with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, you can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or email your audio file to me, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Is that email address to get them to me if you want to record it there on your smartphone. If you like the show, support it. Keep it on the air, ghostpodcast.com. That's our place so you can get all the advanced episodes and EPP bonus episodes. You can even sign up through Patreon. If you like Patreon, the link is there at ghostpodcast.com. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you today?
I'm good. I'm honored to be able to sit by your mug over here. Did you tell Carol about that?
Oh, God, I forgot about that. I should have talked about that last night, but I did not. Now we got one of our listeners sent in a late Christmas gift. And I always appreciate that because you never know what you're going to get. This was, I think, one of my favorite things that has ever come in the mail. It's a coffee mug. And they did a great job photoshopping this. On one side of the mug, it's like one long picture. And on one side, they photoshopped me onto it. And then if you turn the mug, it's Michael McDonald. And we both have the same expression on our face.
It looks like an album cover.
It does. It looks like if we did a duet album.
Yeah.
And what does it say on the side that says, I never thought I'd spend one night alone, I believe.
Yeah. But it does. It looks just like an album cover. And it just blows my mind because it's just perfect.
Yeah. They totally got all the shading and everything correct. So it looks like it was made to be like that.
That's awesome.
Oh, it's hilarious. Someone is going to walk in here and that does not know me or you or that I'm married to you and go, you, Michael McDonald, got something going on? Or what is this all about here? Yeah, thank you for that. That was a neat gift from one of our listeners. I do appreciate that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Remember the episode of The Office where Dwight Schrute is talking about Strudel Pita, the children's book of old fairy tales?
Cautionary children's tales.
It's real.
Really?
It's a real book. It's a 19th century book. It was written by a German psychiatrist back then. A children's book, if published today, I'm sure it would obviously cause a lot of scandal. But I found the pages of it.
Okay.
Online. And oh my God, it's like, it's all these cautionary tales. And I'll go through some of them. There's one of them. It's the story. It's like horror stories. These are stories that if you told a child, it was to caution the children from doing dumb things or things that children do.
Sure.
And they basically, you know, the consequence is usually death if you keep doing it. There's a story of little Suck-a-Thumb. A mother warns her little son, Suck-a-Thumb, not to suck his thumb because a great tall tailor will cut them off with his scissors. However, as soon as she turns her back, the boy sucks his thumb and a red legged scissor man shows up. Snip, snap, the scissors go. And Conrad cries out, uh-oh, snip, snip, snip. They go so fast that both his thumbs are off at last. This is the shit that people used to tell their kids.
Oh, man.
And this is how we have the world we have today. It's just, Nicholas is about to dunk three boys in his inkstand in this one. A dog is teased by Frederick, bites him, and leaves him bedridden. Frederick suffers a pain of his wounds. The dog eats the boys' meals. It just goes on and on of these horrible, horrible things that go in the book for cautionary tales. So I wish I could find a copy of this, because I think it'd be great to read to Harp.
I had no idea it was real. I thought it was just one of those random things the Dwight Schrute character would come up with, kind of like the hole in the horse where you just get meat out.
It's real. It's real, and it's dark as shit.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, it's. I was just trying to find some of it. There, yeah, about 1,500 copies were printed, possibly as many as 3,000. So they're pretty rare.
Yeah.
To come by, but there you go. Strule Pita, in case you want to have some story time with your kids later for Book It or something like that.
Book It.
Going to Pizza Hut and say you read that one. It's probably a cautionary tale about pizza in there. Let's go to our first letter. It says, my whole life I've believed in the paranormal, but I do not believe I'm sensitive to them as I've never had any experiences paranormally before this. I recently moved out of my childhood home about a year ago for the first time to live in a college town. I have a small studio and live alone. During the holiday break one morning, really early, I had kind of a half-woken up state, so my consciousness was awake, slightly aware, but not fully awake to where I could move my body or anything. I heard what sounded like glasses clinking together, as if someone were grabbing a glass from my cupboard to get a drink of water or something. I thought to myself, in my half-wakeful state, that maybe it was just some noise out in the hallway, as you can hear everything out there crystal clear. I did feel some slight fear, though, because my mind couldn't figure out what could be making that sound. Then someone walking fast approached the side of my bed as if it heard me thinking about it. This part is hard to describe, but in my mind's eye, I was still mostly asleep. My eyes weren't open. I saw this black human figure with no face beside my bed, and it jumped on top of me. It's just when I fully woke up. I don't believe this was a dream, as I was conscious to some extent. It was a very different experience than a nightmare. I'm not exactly sure if I was experiencing some kind of sleep paralysis or astral projection, although I was still in my body. During this time, I was going through some seasonal depression, being in a new town and not really knowing anyone or having many friends around. I kind of connected my negative experiences with this as maybe I was attracting something because I was vulnerable. What do you think it was that I experienced? I know it's not the typical ghost experience, but I have no other explanation for what happened. Any thoughts?
I'm leaning towards sleep paralysis.
Yeah.
And, you know, instead of seeing a hag or something else, it was a shadow person.
I've never had the experience where I've seen something, but I'd say at least once a year, I'm halfway asleep or halfway awake, however you want to look at it. And I swear to God, I'm hearing things that are not out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize it's just my mind, but it is scary because it until you've like had that experience several times and you know like your house isn't really haunted, you have no other experiences other than that, it's crazy what your mind can do sometimes as far as how vividly real those sounds can be.
Yeah.
I mean, you can really hear them audibly and you think you're hearing it sometimes in that state. I'm going to lean that this might be what it was, especially if it was a time of stress. For me, it happens in stressful times.
Yeah.
Where you're kind of halfway asleep, halfway awake, something's kind of on your mind, and that seems to be kind of a trigger for it because your mind's in halfway of the sleep and halfway in the awake state. I'm going to say that that's probably what it was. Anything is possible, but based on that, the evidence that was given, that's kind of my thought there. 855-853-4802. Is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. I have another fun story we'll talk about here in just a few minutes. Happened right down the road from us in 1978 at a mortuary.
I know what you're talking about.
A preacher. Preacher man decided he really loved his mommy and he was going to bring her back. And a lot of people lined up for it. We'll talk about that.
I think a lot of people would line up for it now.
That was my comment. That was exactly my comment when I saw the news story, because it was a local news story. And I commented, I said, I bet the same amount of people, if not more, would line up for it in 2018, just as they did in 1978.
Yeah.
So, I got a lot of likes on that one. So. We'll talk about that in just a few minutes. Next story says, hey, Tony and Jenny, stumbled upon your podcast a few months ago, had been listening daily. I commuted an hour each way to work and quickly caught up on all the episodes, so I had to become an EPP. I have a few stories, but one that stands out the most happened when I was in eighth grade. I grew up in a very strict Roman Catholic home in Northwest Indiana, about 40 minutes southeast of Chicago. I attended Catholic school K through 8, which was built in 1954. We were taught that ghosts aren't real and witchcraft is a sin. Now that I'm a practicing witch, our small Catholic grade school consisted of maybe 150 students K through 8, and 8th graders would have a lock would be at the school at the end of the year. The basement of the school consisted of the library that we called the Cafe Gymatorium, Cafeteria Gym Auditorium, because they kind of had everything in there. Our class consisted of about 10 girls, and we decided it would be a great idea to shut off the light in the hallway by the library and play Light as a Feather, Stiff as a Board, and Cat Scratches. For those who are unfamiliar with the games, Light as a Feather is when one person lies down on their back and the rest pull two fingers under them and chant Light as a Feather, Stiff as a Board until they lift. Cat Scratches, same concept, but you make scratching motions over the person without touching them while they lay on their back and chant Cat Scratches. When you turn on the lights, that person is supposed to have cat-like scratches on their back. I played these games at many sleepovers with these girls, and nothing ever happened. So we did not expect anything to come of it. I remember playing Light as a Feather, and the girl lying down began to levitate about an inch off the floor, and we all freaked out and stopped. Me, being a skeptic, I was said she was lifting herself where our fingers were, and I don't think anything happened. So we decided to play Cat Scratches. We chanted, and when we were done, she said it felt like her back was on fire. I lifted her shirt, and sure as shit, there were cat-like scratches all over her back. There was no way she could have given herself these scratches because she was lying on her back, and many were where she would not have been able to reach herself. If you've been around a group of 13-year-old girls, you can imagine the screams that followed. I haven't played those games since. Still love and fascinated by paranormal, just more educated, and I'm not trying to open doors when I don't know where they lead. I have many other stories that I'll write in about another time. Most of them have to do with schools that I have attended or taught. I'm a high school teacher. Thanks for all that you do. Love the podcast. Be blessed, Caitlin.
I feel like these games have everything to do with what may be in proximity to those playing it. That's why nothing ever happened before, but they played it in this kind of creepy old school, and then something happened. Maybe something was there that aided in that.
I'm glad I was as antisocial as I was as a child, so I never had to get involved in these games.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I remember I never played any of these. Not that I recall, anyway. I know we always talked about it. The only time I hung out with kids in the evening was when our my neighbor, who was a grandmother, her grandkids would come over, and sometimes they'd have a campfire with the uncle would come over and stay. Mm-hmm. And they would he'd be out there doing a campfire. It was kind of like a Norman Bates type relationship going on there at that house. Not quite the lover part, I don't think, was in there. But
I don't think the lover part's in the real story.
Oh, I think they're lovers and friends.
I think you're wrong.
I think it's insinuating. In the show, it was kind of insinuated that Norman kind of had a thing for his mom. It never like really quite went there, but it came pretty damn close.
I just think it was extreme codependent.
Okay.
Relationship.
Anyway, it was Norman Batesy. Anyway, we always would dare each other to go up onto like the hill that was in the back, and there was like a little kind of inlet in the trees. And I think I went up there once, and this is one of those weird kind of foggy childhood memories that I have of like, did this happen or was this just in my imagination of what I thought was going to happen? And I remember going up the hill a little bit, going towards a little like cove inlet in the trees, and it was a cool little area. This is the memory, so take it for what it is. I think from my memory, I went up there and I thought I did see something like off basically in the center of this inlet. Again, I don't know if this is in my memory as I'm afraid this is what's going to happen, or if I actually did this. I do remember being brave and going up the hill.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't recall, because we were like 8.
Yeah.
But I don't recall if I actually did see, and I can't say it was like a full-bodied apparition or anything, because, again, I don't remember a whole hell of a lot about it. And I think if it actually happened, I'd have a much better memory of it, because I'm pretty good at remembering stuff from childhood. But in my mind's eye, it was just kind of like this whitish-type thing down at the end of this inlet, ran back down, and that was it. If I actually saw that, your guess is as good as mine. I'm never going to say it's a ghost story because I don't know if it's what my mind has manufactured over the years.
But could it just be you thought you saw that because you guys kind of, I mean, if it's something you dared each other to do, then you know it was kind of scary anyway.
Yeah, I mean, this is the same time in my life where I remember being freaked out after watching Thriller 32 times on VHS over and over and over, and being told it's bedtime and thinking Michael Jackson was standing in front of the bedroom door.
Mm-hmm.
I swear to God, I can picture that one. And that was not a dream.
Yeah,
that was my mind hallucinating or projecting. It was, I remember looking up the stairwell, this bi-level home, up the top of the stairs, there's a bathroom. Right side is my bedroom. Left side is my parents' bedroom. Looked up the stairs, and I swear to God, there's Michael Jackson standing in the red suit. And then there's two zombies on each side of the doors. This is what I saw. I know it was not a ghost experience. It was a freaked out child. So could it have been that exact same sort of thing? Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
But that is, I think, as close to I've ever come to something weird when you're being a kid and doing that sort of stuff. Did you ever play anything like that? Or
no.
No?
No, not really. Never tried to scare anybody or have anybody try and scare me.
Did kids ever talk about those games? I remember kids talking about these games. I just never did them.
I knew about Ouija boards, but I didn't know about the other games that kids play.
I never knew of Cat Scratch until today, but I remember Light as a Feather.
I think we were doing the show before I ever heard of Light as a Feather.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Bloody Mary. I don't know how you do that one.
You know, I didn't know about that until later.
These things you could bond with the girls over?
Yeah.
Just think, you could do like a girls' night and play Light as a Feather, Bloody Mary with your daughters.
Only been more extroverted. But I had so much more fun.
I'm saying you could do this with the kids now.
No.
This could be a great mother-daughter night.
Nope, not happening.
855-853-4802 is our number. At Real Ghost Stories Online, next one says, I moved into an old house some 5 years ago out of desperation so that I did not have to tote my son the 15-mile one way to high school 5 days a week. I swore to myself that this was only temporary, but even after his graduation from high school 2 years ago, I am still stuck here because of financial reasons. Since childhood, I've always been sensitive to spirits, and it's become even more pronounced the older I get. The house that I'm in, I've always sensed a presence, and I know that one is here. I hear the footsteps at night, walking through my kitchen and living room, and then they're just gone. Sounds like heavy boots and a long stride. Very creepy, not scary, just creepy. I hear noises as something fell, but when I check, nothing is there. I always feel watched, like it's quietly watching every move that I make. The other day, I was standing at my sink washing dishes, and I felt something touch my side, like a poke, as if it just wanted me to be aware of its presence, almost childlike, wanting attention. I see the dark shadows moving quickly by me. When I look directly at it, they are all gone. All of this is fine because I do not feel threatened by it, and the situation is livable but creepy. My niece lived with me for a short time, and it scared her. She said that the doorknob in her bedroom would move as if someone was trying to get her into her room. She said that it would wiggle, not turn, just wiggle, and I'd have to deal with her being scared out of her mind at night. My son also dealt with some scary things here before he moved out and joined the army, but to this day he refuses to tell me about them because he's afraid that he will scare me, which he's probably right. Now, this is what I'm dealing with inside my house, but what is outside I am horrified of. I don't want to sound insane, and no, I'm not writing this from the inside of a mental institution. The presence that's outside my house has just shown up and has been here for only about 3 weeks now. The only way I can describe what it feels like is pure evil. I'm scared to death of it, and horror consumes me when I have to go out there. I leave very early in the morning to work at 3:30 a.m., so it's very dark. There are mornings that I feel it's not out there. Then there are mornings that I feel like it is watching me from my fence line. I live in a rural area. It's made itself known to me. Started at first as a distinct whistle. The second thing, it did almost cause me to have a heart attack, and I'm not exaggerating. That morning, I had gotten up for work. I have a hound dog that I keep inside my house with me, so the first thing I do when I get up in the morning is put my dog outside to go to the bathroom. That morning, my dog would not leave my porch. He'd bark and growl out into the darkness. I opened the door and the hair on his neck was standing straight up, and he ran back into my house like he was scared and did not stop until he was under my bed. I thought maybe a coon or possum was out there. He was scared of it. After about 20 minutes, my dog went back to the door, waiting outside, so I opened the door and he would not go out. I had to push him outside. Again, he would not leave the porch and stood there, bristled up, growling into the darkness. I opened the door and he ran into the house again. I was not scared, just confused by the way my dog was acting. Now it came time for me to leave for work. I turned off all the lights and walked down my sidewalk through my front gate and got into my car. Put my keys on the ignition and was fumbling for the headlight switch, which for some reason I could not find. My car window was down about halfway, but my door was shut. From the dark area that my dog had been so frightened of about 50 feet in front of my car, I heard a sound I've never heard before. It sounded like it was right in my ear doing this, and it sounded like someone was blowing on a duck call, but more powerful baritone and strange sounding. It was so loud it made my ears hurt. It scared me so bad. Felt like my heart was up in my neck and I suddenly got this awful headache. I started my car and my entire body was shaking to the point I could hardly press the gas accelerator. I backed up and finally found the headlights on my car, turned them on, pointing them into the direction of the noise, and I saw nothing. A week later, I got this phone call that was strange. It was my best friend calling me, as that's what my caller ID was showing. I answered the phone and said, "Hello?" This very faint voice of a man came on and said, "Hello." It sounded like he was a million miles away with static. I detected a slight accent, like he may have been Hispanic. I asked him who he was, and after a long pause, he said, "Who is this?" I got very freaked out and almost hung the phone up, but told myself not to. I asked him if he had the wrong number, and he said no, then the line went dead. I immediately called my friend back and asked her if she had just tried to call me, and she said yes, but the phone was doing something weird. She said that it was making this sound like static, blaring from a TV, and the sound was fading in and out. She wanted to know what was going on with my phone. Now, I don't know if this has anything to do with all of these other things, but it was weird. I don't know what's going on at my house and why all this is happening. I'm really scared at this point. All I can do is sit on my couch after dark and brace myself for something to happen. I feel almost like what's outside wants in, and it's feeding off my fear, and I feel like it's enjoying it. I've not done anything to draw whatever this is to me. I even went to the extreme, getting oil and praying while sprinkling it around the house, inside and out. Whatever it is, I want it to leave me alone, but it won't.
What I wonder is if there is any way to get rid of an entity that is actually outside of your home and just lurking, you know, because you can get rid of things inside your home sometimes, but you can't. I mean, how do you tackle it outside your home?
I suppose in the same sort of ways that you would tackle it in the inside, you know, some sort of a blessing of the property and areas around. I've heard of people like doing things around the perimeter of a property line, like, salts and things of that nature. Most landscapers do stuff like that.
They do not.
Yeah, they'll put in like a nice little koi pond and get the demons out of the yard.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, just ask them. It's usually on like the website, like services. It is.
Okay.
Like retaining walls, demon excavation, all sorts of stuff. Demon. I thought you do have to wonder how many landscapers, especially on older properties, do run into shit that's like, oh my God. If you've been a landscaper for a long period of time and you do a lot of work in areas of the country where it's older properties, I bet they got some stories.
Like bodies in the garden?
Yeah. Just and I'm not saying it like somebody murdered somebody. I'm saying it like as that's what people used to do.
Oh, like very old unmarked graves.
Yeah. They bury their family in the backyard or in old homesteads. They buried the family on the homestead.
Mm-hmm.
And as, you know, expansion has come and people have built on these places, you know, I bet there's a lot of that shit.
Could be.
That happens. But how do you, I mean, I wonder what the laws are with that when you come across the body. I mean, does everything just stop? Do you have to then properly move it if you found it? Do they have to go investigate to make sure it wasn't like the missing girl from 20 years ago? Or do they just go, yeah, this is, you know, clearly someone's.
I bet you the authorities are called just so that they can roll it out as, you know, they can tell, I'm sure, by carbon dating or something, how old the bones are, so they know whether it's something to worry about or not.
Yeah. If it's just Aunt Edna, then it's all good.
No, I mean, and I don't know exactly what that is called, that process of figuring that out, but I think you would have to make that known.
Yeah. Here's a, speaking of dead people, just right down the road from us, 1978, a preacher wanted to raise his dead mother from the grave.
Okay.
And decided to make a spectacle of it. He had quite a difficulty getting this done. It was March 12th, 1978. This guy, from what I understand, this happened in Reeds Spring, which is not far from here. It happened at a place called Clarkson Mortuary. And this building is still standing. This is like a church type building today.
Okay.
Is where it occurred. At 2 p.m. Of that day, evangelist Aaron Daniel Rogers, with the help of two other evangelists, was going to pray over his dead mother to raise her from the dead, Gladys Ruth Rogers. She was in the Clarkson Mortuary in a Sears freezer. God, love the Sears. I wonder if it was a Kenmore. A Christian woman, she had gone to her great reward 38 days prior at the age of 80. This is a news story from back then. The certificate, she said, she had succumbed to pneumonia, possibly with complications from the flu. The thing that somebody looks back on this is, the thing that I marvel about is, it blows me away that about this event is that all this media came. Well, of course they would come. I mean, it was back then, but today you'd probably have like shitloads of bloggers and everybody else just showing up to document this thing. When the mother died, the guy quickly put her on dry ice for 4 days, later trying to bring her back to life with prayer. Just the way Jesus rose Lazarus from the grave. He told reporters that he had healed hundreds of people, including his father, during his 21 years of ministry. And he said that he was going to raise his mother from the dead. Give you one guess how this turned out.
I think we all know how it turned out.
He raised her from the dead. And they're back together again, and they live down the road.
No.
They're our neighbors. We actually saw them the other night at Chili's.
No.
No, it did not work. And there you go. About 500 people showed up, though.
Then what happened to this preacher? Did he run out of town just because of embarrassment, or did he stick around?
I don't know the answer to that. I don't know that it even answers it in this article. But there's a picture of the building.
Is it one that I know?
I've seen it. I don't know exactly. I mean, it's kind of a weird modern-esque looking concrete structure. It doesn't look super church-like, it's still there.
Hmm.
This guy is 82, I believe. Or is that the... Yeah, he's a... they tried to reach out to him without any luck. He's 82. They believe this is the guy. They found him in Kabul, which I don't know where that is, but...
Kabul, Missouri?
I don't know. Missouri, Arkansas, somewhere around here. but he's still around, supposedly. They couldn't confirm if it's the same guy, but the name records matched up and age matched up
to about
where he would be today. So I don't know. I wonder how that would work. I mean, would you still keep going to the church that the guy was going to raise the mom from and didn't work out? You'd just be like, well, you tried. Give it, you know.
I've left churches for much less.
Wouldn't that have been awesome, though, if at least one of them that we tried to raise, like, a dead sibling?
It would be a great story.
I totally would show up for that day. I would be like, yes, this is the one I'm going to. I am not going to miss this shit. But there you go. Now you're going to, every time you drive by this building, you can see the picture later, but you'll think, oh, they tried to raise a dead lady there once. There you go. What just gets me is it's 1978 that this is happening.
Yeah.
So this is, you know, not really all that long ago in terms of history when, you know, yeah. I mean, this seems more like an 1878 thing to do.
Sure, sure.
But as I said when I first saw the article, you could probably have tried it in 2018 and have just as much success in gaining attention.
It's just one more creepy thing about that little town that I love.
It's a weird little town.
Yeah.
855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hey, we got another guy in town that likes to do fun. What James Baker is around here. He's selling his end of world products.
He's down closer to Arkansas, but he's still in this general area.
Who would have thought he'd ever come back? He's got this little online thing, and he's always like selling like food, like dehydrated food.
End of the world buckets.
Yeah. Just like when that shit hits the fan, do you really want to keep going is my question. It's like, if it's like apocalyptic shit, I don't know that I'm really excited to eat, you know, canned cream corn or dried cream corn. Okay. I think I'm kind of like, I don't know.
And then I won't waste the good food on you when that happens.
You enjoy that dehydrated beef from James Baker, honey.
I'm not doing that. No.
But I got her for Valentine's Day. James Baker multi-pack, the whole back of my truck just filled with dehydrated food and a lot of makeup, because I said, honey, look like Tammy Faye for me.
That's just gross. That is so gross.
Ah, good times.
I'm done.
Next letter. Hey guys, what am I writing about is the strangest, most bizarre thing that has ever happened to me. And it has me shaking. This happened just last night. I'm telling you now, so the details are fresh. I was up late writing, not usually. Decided to crash around 1:45 a.m., I'd say. So I'm lying there drifting in and out of sleep on my side facing the wall. From nowhere, I felt someone or something get into bed with me. My door was locked from the inside, so it was impossible that a physical person was there. I can't say with 100% certainty I wasn't asleep or experiencing some type of hallucination, but this thing touched me in a very aggressive manner, like ripples of hands and full-bodied contact went up and down the entire scope of my body. The force was enough to shift me up, and my head hit the wall. I remember waving behind me the first time, feeling for a body, and looking back, ensuring that my door was still locked. Then it happened again. This time I recall my eyes were open. I was staring at the wall, waiting for it to be over. Felt like I was being groped by a very aggressive lover from behind, to be perfectly honest. I laid there for a long time afterward, contemplating what it could have been, then I rolled back onto my back. I said to myself, if it happens again, now on my back, something is there, but it didn't happen again. What's your opinion on this? Honestly, this is the scariest thing that's ever happened to me, and it kept me awake the rest of the morning, very confused. Thank you for the podcast. Groping ghosts, go.
Groping ghosts. You know, I don't really know. I mean, if it was the only time this happened, I don't know what to chalk that up to. I mean, I think it's a ghost, but I don't know if it's something that's there regularly or something that's just passing through and thought it would just cop a feel on the way.
It's a ghost that's not up to date on the Me Too movement.
None of them are.
No. They're such assholes. They really, you know. Well, I was talking the other day with a guy about World War II ghosts, and there's a ship, which one? I forgot what it is, but it's in California. You can go tour it. I've done another episode about it.
Was it the Midway?
No, it's still around. Midway's still around too, right?
Midway's, it's the aircraft carrier in San Diego.
Different one.
Okay.
Midway's when everyone goes to. This is another one that's out there that doesn't get as much love.
Okay.
And that's why I can't even think of the name of it. Anyway, they have the ghost stories on this one are a lot of women get groped on the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, ghost sailors and all that. But he was talking about that. He's like, well, the ghosts are not up on the
Me Too
thing.
Yeah.
So, it's like, well, I mean, a different place and time, obviously. An interesting thing. I don't know. I wonder if it's just something similar to that going on here.
It's hard to know.
Yeah.
You know, that one time haunting thing, mm-hmm. that I think is the hardest to unwind and figure out, because if it only happens once, you can't possibly figure it out.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's anyone's guess. Thank you for sharing that with us. Another letter says, I wanted your opinion and perspective on this past experience. I've been having somewhat paranormal experiences since I was about 3, or at least that's how far behind I can remember seeing things, as I'm over 30 now. When I was very young, I'd often see people who weren't there, according to my parents, so I thought that it was just my imagination, as my parents would tell me. At night, I'd often feel touched, but I would feel presences too. When I was 5, I saw a full-body apparition of my parents and brother on 2 different nights, and I'm 100% certain that I was awake and not asleep. I was told when I was older that I probably saw their astral projections of when they were sleeping. As I grew older, things got weirder. When I reached the age of 12, my beloved grandmother, who was in the hospital for a while, passed away. Before passing away, me and my mom had gone to visit her, without knowing this would be our last time to see her. I distinctly remember her face and her telling me that she was going to leave and this was the last time I would see her and tell her goodbye. I cried when we left the room and I told my mother this, and she said that she can't speak since she was very paralyzed and that it was probably my imagination again. Yet she died 2 days later. Afterward, I kept on feeling and hearing strange things in my house at night. One night I was fed up of being told that it was all in my head, so I decided to confront whatever, if anything, was there. I shouted in my head, "Okay, if there's something in here who wants me to communicate with me or wants me to acknowledge it, show yourself, because I think that I'm going crazy." The next instant it did. Right in the corner of my room was a glowing orb. I was terrified, hid under my covers. When I looked again, it was gone. When I reached junior high one night, I woke up and saw a black figure in my room. It resembled the Grim Reaper, but without the blade. It was just there, staring at me. I was terrified and tried talking to it, but it didn't reply and vanished after I closed my eyes and counted to 10. The next day at school, I found out that one of my friends had tried to kill herself, but missed. We assumed that something had come to warn me. Later on in the school year, my friend and I wanted to try a Ouija board to see if we could communicate with whatever was in my house. I played the Ouija board when I was in elementary school by making one with some friends. It would contact a spirit named Mac, or so he would say. Back then, my friends and I thought it was a joke. However, when I played again at my house with a different set of friends, the same name popped up. I wasn't pushing the pointer, and my friends had never heard of my previous experiences using this game. I was naive and assumed it was just a coincidence. Things went awry, but that will have to be for another time if you're interested in hearing about it. Also, many years later, I went to Japan, where I currently reside, and one night my boyfriend, at the time friends, and us had a drink and a few beers and were exchanging ghost stories, and the Ouija board came up. They decided to try making one and playing it. I did not want to touch it this time and decided to watch them. They automatically got into contact with the spirit, but the spirit wasn't communicating properly. It seemed not to understand them. So I asked if it was who I thought it might be while speaking in English to the board instead of Japanese. It went straight to the yes. So I said, "Spell your name." I wasn't touching the glass that they were using as a planchette, but sure enough, it spelled out the name Mac. Not even my boyfriend knew about the name. Everyone was puzzled except for me, who was freaking out. They stopped playing. Also, in my life, aside from seeming to be able to communicate with spirits, I often take ghost pictures. I could send you some if you want. They also seem to be able to channel into things. And a best friend of mine, I had a common friend, who lived with his mom in a separate city. He'd come to visit his dad on the weekends or twice a month. One weekend, when he wasn't scheduled to be in town, my friend and I were hanging out at the mall when I suddenly had this feeling that he was in town. I told my friend that she said that it was impossible, seeing that it wasn't his father's weekend. When I called my mom, this is a time before cell phones, sure enough, she tells me that I had just gotten a call from our friend that he was, in fact, in town. It was scary but fun at first. Things went even more intense from then on. On another day, my best friend had come back from spending a day at her aunt's and showed me a picture that she had drawn. It wasn't very special. It was just a regular bird picture of a bird that was at her aunt's. As I touched the picture with my fingers, I felt this overpowering feeling of solitude, sadness, frustration, and I wanted to cry. What was odd was that these were not my emotions. So I asked my friend why she had been feeling that way. My friend looked at me wide-eyed as if she had seen a ghost and asked me, how could I have known that he had felt that way at her aunt's house? She hadn't said anything about it. I told her that I couldn't explain it, but by touching her drawing, I felt all of these emotions. I think I channeled her emotions. From then on, my friend and I were curious about what I seemed to be able to do. We started to test other possibilities. One was we took a deck of cards. I would have to guess its outcome by touching the top of the card, but not looking at it. It was fun and exciting because it was harmless, and I'd almost always get them right. We should have stopped there, but we didn't. I began to try to push myself further to see what else I could channel. Came to a point where I couldn't control it, and everyone who would touch my skin, let's say touching my hand, I would feel and sometimes see their emotions and thoughts. My friend and I played a game when we were bored in class. She'd scream out my name, and in her head, I'd wait to see if I could hear her, or even though we were in different classrooms, I did. Eventually, I was able to control that part of me to a certain point. I can still channel emotions and other people's thoughts by either using something of theirs, like a toy, clothes, or even just a note, but I do it on my terms. Moreover, I've been approached by many people telling me that I had a gift, that if I was willing to make it grow, I could accomplish many things. I'd like to know if you think that the Ouija spirit attached himself to me. Am I a medium? A sensitive? Should I try to embrace this gift as opposed to trying to suppress it? Anyway, I'd love to hear your perspective on this.
I think this person's a medium, and I think it's up to them if they want to continue growing that or trying to stifle it. But mm-hmm. this is beyond sensitive. This is beyond an empath. This is ability to almost read thoughts and know events before they happen.
They hit the paranormal ability jackpot.
Yeah.
And I mean, it can be a good thing or a bad thing. It's really however you want to take it. I mean, with the good comes the bad, certainly with that. If you're picking up on good things with people, you're going to pick up on bad things with people. I'm sure they're completely aware of that. I don't know. That's really a personal question. Do I think it began with the Ouija board? No, I think that was just one of those things where it knew that you could pick up on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of part, it comes along with being you. But I don't think that's what caused it or where it began. Maybe one of the first times that you had an encounter with something on the other side, but my guess is it's just an ability that's always been there.
Yeah. I mean, some of the examples were well beyond when this person started playing with a Ouija board. Yep. So yeah, I think that it's always been there. Probably will always be there. It's just you either practice or you stifle it.
Yep. There you go. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. That's going to wrap up the program for today. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person, EPP, ghostpodcast.com, or through Patreon, the link at ghostpodcast.com. Keep us on the air. Get access to all the bonus episodes and more advanced episodes. Those are there for you as well at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.